peace, love, and light, everybody. I'm your host, RL Malpica, and this is another episode of Minds Like Minds podcast. I want to thank everybody who's been subscribing and watching on YouTube. Highly appreciate that. And if you're new to the channel and new to the show, make sure you hit that subscribe button. You know, we're already on what? I think this is episode 6 of this season. So if you're interested in learning more about the raw food diet and lifestyle, as well as fruitarianism and the terrain model, definitely you'll want to subscribe and check out some of our earlier episodes as well. But today's topic is going to be on something that I'm like extremely passionate about, and that is raising kids on a fruitarian diet and on a raw food diet. It's something that is a touchy subject that a lot of people don't want to dive into. I don't know if it's based out of fear, conditioning, or whatever the case may be, but it's a discussion that needs to happen because it's extremely important, and hence the reason I'm so passionate about it. So I want to talk about that today. And this is one I would really love some interaction. So if you're watching this and you're passionate about it or have questions about it, or you're practicing it as well with your children, you know, leave a comment. Let me know what you think. So like for me, I have 3 daughters, and, you know, one is my stepdaughter, but, you know, I look at her just like a daughter. I've helped raise her since she was 4 years old. She's 14 now. So for the past 10 years, and I didn't start getting on my path of understanding health and you know, how it connects with the mind and body and spirit. I didn't really dive into that and really start to understand that, until my 3rd daughter was born, my youngest, who is going to be 6 next month. And it's hard for a parent to kind of understand like some of the mistakes that we've made raising our kids. Like my oldest daughter is 24 years old. So I was literally 17 years old when I had her. I didn't know shit about diet. I didn't know shit about any of this stuff. I didn't know shit about health, you know, and looking back on how I raised her and the types of foods I raised her on, you know, I obviously wish I had this knowledge back then, but I didn't, you know. And it's one of those things. It's like this knowledge and this quote unquote truth when it comes to health is not readily available. And I think that's one of the biggest issues in society. But, you know, when we talk about raising kids on a raw food diet, and there's a lot of people that don't feel like it's safe. So let's dive into that. Why? Why would it not be safe? Why would it be safe for adults and not for kids? I think we've been so conditioned in so many different ways, not only for the type of foods we eat, but to differentiate the foods that children eat and grownups eat and adults eat. You know, like, it's not about what's fit for a senior adult or a middle-aged adult or a teenager or a child. It's not. It's about what's fit for the human species. And we get lost in the sauce when it comes to that because of all of the complex, the complexity that's been added to health for some reason. And we know the reason. We know that there's the more layers you add to health, the more opportunities for profit, you know, from the food industry, from the health industry, from the insurance industry, all those different industries, how they work in cahoots together. And it starts early. It starts with the children. And I'm just 100% passionate about that. Look, my 6-year-old daughter, you know, soon to be 6-year-old daughter, eats majority raw food. And, you know, as I've learned and I've grown, when it comes to this health lifestyle, this natural food, health and diet, I have continued to apply those to her because why would I not want to give her best foot forward? And it's funny because I have a lot of people that come at me when it comes to raising her on a majority raw food diet. While those same individuals are raising their kids on basically a whole gamut of so-called food, from cooked foods to processed foods, you know, to fried foods, to wheats, to grains, all those different things, because they've just been conditioned to think that's what we're supposed to eat, you know? So I take a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, I almost call it like building a legacy, because I didn't learn this until I was, what, 30? I mean, for where I am now, you know, shoot, it's only been a little bit over a year. But as far as even just from a vegetarian aspect, I didn't start that till 6 years ago. I mean, that's 3 decades of my life that I've been conditioned and eating the wrong kinds of foods. You feel what I'm saying here? Like, the fact that I can take this knowledge now and apply it to my daughter and watch her grow up eating in a way that's going to be so beneficial for her down the line, like, is something that I'm just extremely passionate about. That's why I'm so passionate about this episode, because I'm talking to everybody out there. Like, it's one thing to make the changes for yourself, which is great. You know, I every episode I implore all of you to get on the path to a healthier life, because it all starts there. But just think about how important it is to implore this and influence your children when it comes to what they're eating. Because look, it's all set up. It is all set up. The society is set up to breed and raise unhealthy children. I mean, think about it. Think about the moment they are entered into this world. They are vaccinated immediately. Vitamin K, and I think it's Hep B. I mean, the fact that a Hep B vaccine is given at birth is preposterous, right? Vitamin K, Hep B. And then they get on a vaccination schedule all the way up until roughly till they're a teenager. But that's just the beginning of it, right? That's just the foundation of it. And then you have the formula, you know, the fact that formula has become so popular as opposed to breast milk. So now you're giving the child processed food from the jump. And then from the moment they're able to chew, we're already giving them cooked food. We're already giving them processed foods. Like, we are the majority of people are starting their children out on the complete wrong path when it comes to health. Complete wrong path. I mean, you have to really, really look at it from every aspect of it. Look how you were raised. Think about it. Think about the things you ate as you grew up and what your peers ate, what your friends ate, what your cousins and siblings ate. Like, it all starts there. It actually starts before that. It starts when, you know, the child is in the womb. So speaking to all my individuals out there who are pregnant, who are looking to have a child in the near future, your terrain, what's going on in your system is feeding your baby. So you really have to take these things into account. Like, you know, we've been so indoctrinated with this. Oh man, you got to have so much protein when you're pregnant and all these different things. You know, I just advise you to look at, you know, the natural way, the natural pathway, just to see, because that is giving your child the best opportunity to have a healthy life. Plain and simple. And look, every individual should have those choices at their disposal. And I guess technically, because we live in the information age with internet and everything, that it is available to us, but most people don't even know it exists. Most people hear stuff like a raw food diet and think it's some crazy, outlandish, extreme thing, when that is naturally how we were built to operate. So while people have that information available to them, they don't even know it exists. You can't obtain something you don't know that exists. You know, that's why that's a big reason why I do this podcast and I advocate for what I do. You know, I don't ever push my philosophies. I share my philosophies because I've done that work and I've applied it to myself and I've seen the benefits and I've seen others with the benefits and I've seen the opposite. I've seen the detriment of others who have not changed their diet and not changed their lifestyle. But we're talking about the kids here. So I always say with my youngest, it's like, it's about legacy. It's about breaking generational curses, that generational bullshit, that traditional bullshit that makes us, you know, feel like we have to eat a certain way because our family did, or because that's just how we do culturally. Nah, that's bullshit. Look, we all have different dispositions, but we're all the same physiologically. And that goes with children. That's why when you look at foods, like anything that can be consumed by you should be able to be consumed by your children. Same thing with if you're looking at like herbs per se, like if you're into botanicals and things of that nature, like anything that I can take from an herb standpoint, a child can take. Now there's different dosages based on, you know, physical frame, heavy, you know, weight, things of that nature. And that's just obvious, just like food. Like a 2 year old can't, or, you know, a 2 to 3 year old can't eat as much food as I am because I'm like a lot bigger than them, right? So it's simple. Keep it all simple. But like the conditioning that goes into play, because, you know, when these kids are growing up, you know, whether it's the vaccines and you add on that the processed foods and everything they see on TV or when they're streaming or watching YouTube or whatever the case may be, you know, all they're seeing are things from a food standpoint that are for the detriment of them, not the benefit. So that's what they learn. You know, we were driving home. We took a road trip and we were driving home from Kansas City to Texas, and we stopped at a gas station, and we were walking up and down the aisles, just walking, you know, stretching our legs and things like that. And we get to the candy aisle, and I just looked at it and I'm just like, I mean, if you look at all the bright, vivid colors of the candy packages and wrappers and the bags with like the sweet tarts and all those, you know, different chemical cocktails, basically, they're all bright, vivid colors that draw the eyes of the child by design. But if you think about it, those same colors are the colors of what? Of nature's food, fruits, vegetables. Think about that. Physiologically, we are drawn to those vivid colors. It only makes sense that that's what we're meant to eat. Because if we take it to its most basic form and we go back to nature, you know, where you don't have cooked food or processed food or grocery stores or things like that, that's what we would be drawn to, just like the kids are drawn to it. If you have a toddler who's only drinking breast milk their entire life, and then all of a sudden you want to get them into physical, you know, other physical foods, and you put some fruit in front of them, and then you also put some cut up chicken, which one do you think they're going to go for? They're going to go for the vivid colored fruit. That's what they're drawn to. That's where their instincts go. And when they eat the fruit, they're going to like it. Instinctively, they're going to like it. When you give them either the processed food or the cooked food or the meats, they're not going to like it. They have to be trained to like it. They have to eat it over and over again till all of a sudden they build up a tolerance for it, number one. And then they get used to it. You don't have to do that with fruit. It's automatic. Now look, you know, some may like one fruit over another. I mean, that's just natural, right? That's natural with all of us. You know, there's certain fruits that I like, certain fruits I don't. You know, and I go through phases. Sometimes I'm into the berries. Sometimes I'm into the melons. Sometimes I'm into the bananas. You know, there's the beauty of it is there's so many choices. You can always be satisfied and always be satiated. So raising kids on a raw food diet or raising kids as a fruitarian is an amazing path to lay out for your legacy. Because look, we have a period of time in this realm. You know what I'm saying? And like, depending on what your passions and goals are, like for me, like I am very passionate about uplifting the collective consciousness of the world and raising humanity. And look, I may not, you know, affect that. I may not get humanity to where I envision it, you know, the way I want it to be in this lifetime. But the way I can do that, the way I can continually impact the world is by my children. And that's why that's what everybody should be thinking of. That's your legacy. So how do you do it? Right? That's the question, right? How do you do it? How do you raise your children on a fruitarian or raw food diet? That's the main question, right? And this is what I do. And I get it from a bunch of different aspects. You know, quick story. The main catalyst, one of the main catalysts of when I went vegetarian 6 years ago was my oldest daughter. She did it first. She went vegan. Now I don't know her exact reasons. I know a main part of it was health. You know, she just wanted to get on a more healthy path, but she led that way. And I'm just was so proud to see that without my influence or anything, because I wasn't even there yet. Like I always knew if I wanted to take the next step spiritually, I was going to have to give up meat. I knew that. I just hadn't done it yet. But once I saw her do it, implement it, like, and then my youngest daughter was, you know, about to be born. And then she was born. And for the first 2 months of her life, I'm sorry, for the first month of her life, I was still a meat eater. But then me and my wife made the decision we were going to do it. We were going to go vegetarian and vegan. And we did it, you know, so she was the catalyst to that. Now she's now gone on her own path and whatnot. But the mindset is there. She knows she can do it. And whatever she decides to do, that's her choice. She's grown. All I can do is continue to be a father and instill those values. But she lives on her own and she's not within my household and she has her own life now. But for the kids you have in the household, the number one way to be that influence for them to get on the right path is to set that path and be that example. That's number one thing. Like if you're going to talk it, you got to walk it. You know, that's one thing I do take pride in. You know, I know that my daughter, especially my youngest daughter, watches us and sees what we do on a day-to-day basis. And she picks up everything. So we set that example. A big part of that is, what does your kitchen look like? You know, look, kids get hungry. Kids not only get hungry, but they almost eat for pleasure. You know, they're bored or whatever the case may be, or they just love the taste of something. They just want to eat it. So when they get hungry or when they look to eat something, they're going to go based on what they see. So when you look at my kitchen and my refrigerator, you see colors, man. You see fruit. You got to give them those options. Those have to be the majority of the options in your home. If you have Twinkies and potato chips and all kinds of different cereals and pastas and, you know, Kool-Aid, you know, all those Capri Suns, all those different options, then that's what they're going to be drawn to. Because number one, that's what they see on TV every day. Not to mention the addictive factors of those particular foods. So you got to take those options away from them and offer them healthy options that are for the benefit of them. It's a huge part of it. You will be amazed at how things change when you start to change the options, when you start to see what you start to change what they observe. Because that natural instinct is going to kick in. You know, look, if you're making the changes, if they're used to a certain type of diet and you're trying to switch them over, that is more difficult. That's what we deal with our middle child. She's 14 years old and in a blended family. So when she's at her father's house, they eat meat. They eat a completely different way than we eat. But when she's here, she's vegetarian, but she's not. She hasn't really made the transition to the raw food yet. Now, she'll eat some raw food, but she's still in the cooked food mindset because of, you know, we're talking for, you know, 14 years of conditioning. But you can tell that the wheels are spinning, that she's starting to understand. She's starting to ask questions. And she started, you could tell she's implementing more and more raw foods into her diet. Because we're that example, and she sees the benefits. That's the kicker. When you start to see how it all clicks, that's where it's at. Once you see how it clicks, then you really start to put things together, and then you start to question everything that you've been doing. You start to question what you've done for the past 4, 5, 6 decades. And you start to feel these benefits, man, and it gets addicting. It really does. But you got to be that example. You gotta have your household reflect your philosophies. And then you got to educate. Why, daddy? Why? And be able to answer those questions, because kids want to know, you know, okay, why is it that when I play, look, my 6-year-old daughter, she plays soccer. And after the games, you know, one of the parents will bring snacks. And sometimes those snacks don't fall into the species appropriate diet. You know, you got fruit roll-ups and you got Capri Suns and, you know, you got a little chocolate candy bar or something like that. And look, I'm not here to say that my child never gets anything outside of the fruitarian diet. She's a majority fruitarian, majority raw food. Because look, we didn't get on the raw food kick till a little bit over a year ago. So she has a minor bit of conditioning, but she knows, like, if you talk to my daughter, she can tell you what the optimal foods are. She can tell you why you shouldn't eat this. Unfortunately, she's so smart. Sometimes she has told people what they should or shouldn't be eating, and we've had to talk to her about that, but she's just talking about what she knows. That's a big part of it. The educational aspect, because everything is working against you. Everything is conditioning your kids. It's not only TV, it's their peers. When they go to school, if they go to public school, or they play in sports teams, or they're around other kids that aren't on the same, you know, aren't on the same path or share the same philosophies, then you're battling them every day. And it sucks sometimes. I mean, it sucks when my daughter, you know, gets excited about wanting to eat something that just isn't healthy. You know, it's just not healthy. And look, I'm human. Sometimes I give in. Sometimes I let her have something that she shouldn't have. You know, like I said, we're not perfect by any means. You know, she has cooked food sometimes. She has, really don't give her any processed food, but, you know, once in a while she'll have something that, you know, she'll have ice cream or something like that. you know, or a cookie home, but you know, we do most of our stuff homemade, but doesn't mean the cookie's good. That doesn't mean it's good for you. It's just better than Chips Ahoy, basically. But it's about the educational aspect, because I know that when she gets older, there's a few things that are going to be working in her favor. Number one, she already has the baseline of healthy food. Like her normal food, her average meal is extremely healthy and species appropriate. How many kids can you say that for? You guys have the power to do that. Educate them, be that example. Show them a world, show them a kitchen, a refrigerator, a pantry, whatever the case may be, of colors, of healthy options. And you're going to see them thrive. Like, we've made some philosophical choices in our life. Number one, to homeschool our youngest. Not only homeschool, but not your typical homeschool, but we go by what I call natural education, which some people call unschooling. Regardless, it's basically allowing your kids to learn at their own pace, allowing your kids to learn by life lessons, by things that are actually applicable to this realm. You know what I'm saying? You know, allow them to learn from every aspect of life that they participate in, whether that be video games or going outside to help garden or feeding the animals or farming, you know, or fixing something, or, you know, spirituality, all these different things. Crystals. I mean, my daughter, she's exposed to all of it and asks a lot of questions, and we give those answers. That is school. That is education. It all goes hand in hand, because as she grows up, understanding the optimal, you know, natural health, natural diet, breaking that conditioning, that little bit of conditioning that she may have, like her status quo, her baseline is going to be strong when it comes to all that. Now, that's not to say when she turns 18, she's not going to make her own choices and you know, experiment and things like that. But she already has the baseline. She doesn't have to go in reverse. That's what's the hard part. That was the hard part for me. 3 decades in of horrific eating habits and trying to break that. And dealing with the addiction of cooked food. And this is what I've noticed. And this is what you guys will notice too. Especially if you do have kids that are on a raw diet. Is that they don't have that addiction. My youngest daughter does not have that addiction. If we walk into a place and they're grilling fajitas, that smell that brings you in, or bacon, you know, that smell that taps into those neurotransmitters and brings up those memories of what that tasted like and all those different things. She doesn't have that. She does not have that. And that is a huge benefit. That's why you have to start them young. There's so many people out there, so many deterrents and detractors when it comes to raw food diets for kids because of all this bullshit that the mainstream has fed them about, you know, not getting a full array of vitamins and things of that nature. That has just really clogged the minds of the masses, to be honest. And look, you know, look, there's that huge debate about B12, and I get it, and I completely understand it. You know what I'm saying? And look, the only thing I can say about that is go with what you feel. I've given my daughter vitamins before. You know, the kicker with my child, and I'm sure some of you may deal with this too, is getting her to eat the leafy greens. Fruits, no problem. Leafy greens, she hadn't got there yet. So, you know, we try to sneak them in her smoothies sometimes just to make sure she's getting some of it, which is not the optimal way by any means. But, you know, look, you can only do what you can do. So, you know, if you make that decision, that's completely fine. But do not allow the mainstream media, do not allow the mainstream society to dictate the most obvious decision you can make. And that is to feed your child on a raw food diet or a majority raw food diet. I mean, optimal is obviously raw food, but you know, like I said, not everybody's there. And if you're not, you know, if you're following the standard American diet, like just like I tell you guys to do with yourselves, you know, start small, replace one meal, you know, replace that Pop-Tart with an apple. I want you to think about that for a minute. Think about what I just said, because it's mind-boggling to me, truly mind-boggling. Trade that Pop-Tart for an apple. Now, I know there's a lot of things that go into everything. I'm going to start with one. Some might say money. Look, we live in a world right now with some serious inflation. I completely get it. And I hear people complain all the time like, oh, you know, I'd buy fruits, but man, this shit's getting, it gets expensive. Look at what you're buying. Look how much, a package, some, if you were to buy some steak, right? If you were to buy, a sirloin, right? Or if you were to buy some drumsticks, or if you were to buy some roast beef, or if you're, you know, whatever the case may be, or you were to buy some deli meat, or you were to buy some potato chips, and you buy all your cereal and all your coffee and all these different things on the middle, in the middle of the grocery store. And then you want to, and then you want to say that the fruits are too expensive. I mean, think about what we're saying here. Replacing a Pop-Tart with a fruit. A Pop-Tart that is not even real food. Not to mention all the added, I mean, just all the concoction of chemicals that are in that Pop-Tart. We're feeding this to our children. And it's not just the Pop-Tart. It's the Lunchables. It's the yogurts. It's the dairy. It's the pizza. It's the chicken nuggets. The French fries. All these different things added up. Now, look, I'm not here to point fingers. Like I said, we're not perfect. We're not 100% raw. But it's about understanding what the optimal diet is so you know you can get back there. I'll give you a perfect example. We just went out of town this past weekend and we did not eat the greatest. We ate a decent amount of cooked food, unfortunately. And we all paid for it. My daughter is detoxing right now because of it. She knows why she's detoxing. She didn't catch some cold virus while she was out in Kansas City? No. She ate and overloaded herself with acid-forming foods. And her body's response, because of how much vital energy she has, because of how she usually eats, is detoxing. Me, I ate a little bit more cooked food than I usually do. And I ate a little bit more than I usually do. And I gained a lot of weight. I gained like 7 pounds in 4 days. What did I do? I fasted. Did a 23-hour fast. Ate a little bit of fruit. Then did another 22-hour fast. Ate a little bit of fruit, some leafy greens. And then I think I did a 16-hour, my usual intermittent fasting, and I've lost all that weight again. So it's about understanding. The problem is that we overload, especially our children. You know, they wake up for school, right? They wake up for school. We either give them cereal, right? Basically sugar, sugar and wheat, sugar and flour, mixed with the chemical concoction of dyes and all kinds of bullshit, with dairy milk, right? Absolutely horrific for you. Stimulates, irritates the mucosa, which just creates more mucus in your body, because it's trying to protect the organs from the acid forming foods that you're putting in it. So that's what you're starting your day with, right? And then they go to lunch. Let's say they eat lunch at the school. Pizza, hamburgers, fries, chips, chicken sandwich, whatever it is. They eat that. Then they come home for dinner and then they have chicken with rice or potatoes or something like that, right? All while drinking, you know, fruit punch or whatever the case may be. Overloading these children with chemical cocktails and chemical concoctions of stuff that is not fit for human consumption. And then we wonder why we have the issues we have today in society, like the cognitive issues that have just exploded, from mental health issues to ADHD to autism, all of it linked to diet and toxicity, diet, vaccines, whatever the case may be. You can't ignore the relation between the two. Did you know since the 1970s, the rate of obesity in children has tripled? Tripled. And what does obesity lead to? At least from the allopathic point of view, heart disease, diabetes, cancer. But we can fix all that. Like raising kids on a raw food diet, raising kids as fruitarians like we were built to be, can fix all that. And you can see your kids thrive. Your kid have behavioral problems? That's cognitive. That has everything to do with what they're eating. A mixture of some other toxic things. And I'm not going to keep saying it, but I think you know what I mean. Your kid unhappy, depressed. What are they eating? So raising kids on a fruitarian and raw food diet is imperative, in my opinion, for humanity to continue to strive and be better. Look, we're all looking to become the best versions of ourselves. Our kids, unfortunately, they come into this world, you know, without any control from a physical standpoint. Like they don't control what the womb of their mother is going to be. They don't control what vaccines they're going to get, what medicine they get, because, you know, all of a sudden they're going through a detox early in life and already they're getting medicines to suppress that detox, not allowing their body to do what it was built to do. So then they get addicted to that, which end up causing problems all down the line. The cooked food thing is imperative for all you guys to know that it's an addiction. Cooked food is an addiction, no different than cigarettes, no different than cocaine. You know what I'm saying? Like, no different than pain meds. They're addicting. It has addictive properties in it. And that's why it's so hard for so many to make those changes. Don't build that addiction into your children. Let them get addicted to being healthy. Let them get addicted to information, to asking questions, to being optimally healthy, to living instead of dying. Let them get addicted to that. It's so difficult because, like I said, in every aspect of life, you just see it and you see these kids that are sick And, you know, their parents don't understand what's truly happening. Like, what is the sickness? They think it's a random thing, or they think it's a genetic thing, you know, or they think it's their immune system not working properly and not understanding what the quote unquote immune system is. By no fault of their own, they've been conditioned. But there's some things that just seem like they'd be common sense. And look, I was an idiot for fucking 36 years of my life. Actually, probably longer than that, because even when I was a vegetarian, I wasn't a very healthy vegetarian. Right? So there's no blame to put, but pick or to put, but like, you think about how simple it can be. Like, you think eating a Pop-Tart is going to do anything beneficial for you? Like, think about it. Just read the back of that, of the box and all the different things that are put in there. And I know no one will probably do this, but if you were to Google every little thing that's in that Pop-Tart, and if you were to buy them in isolate, isolate them and look at what makes that Pop-Tart, what normal human being would look at that and say, oh yeah, I'm gonna give that to my kid. See, it's that whole, you know, it's similar to the morality of eating cooked food, of eating animals, dead flesh, because most people are of the mindset that, well, I didn't kill it. It's already been killed. It's just there. It's food to me. Not thinking of how it got to the grocery store, because you didn't see the act of violence actually happen. Similar to the processed food thing. You didn't see them take all these chemicals and put it in this donut, this Entenmann's donut. You only saw the finished product and it looks like a fucking donut. So I'm gonna eat the donut. But we gotta be better than that as people. And we gotta quit being lazy. I think a lot of the reason that we allow our kids to eat this shit is because we're fucking lazy. Like, we don't want to deal with the response, or we don't want to make them, you know, we don't want to cut them up some fruit, or we don't want to go through the process of explaining to them why they should be eating grapes instead of eating fruity pebbles. Or go through the tedious task of the transformation and transition from, you know, drinking and eating dairy and processed foods and cooked foods to eating salads and fruits and seeds and nuts. We don't want to go through that transition because we're lazy. We got enough going on in our life, right? From every angle, from the job we don't really care for too much, or the bills that keep coming and piling in. But that's not the kid's fault. That's not your children's fault. They didn't choose that. But the one thing we can do is we can help them make those changes. It starts with us. Starts with us, always. You know what I mean? It truly does. And being that example, you know, changing your kitchen, changing your habits, things like that, you know, it won't happen immediately. It's something that will gradually happen over time, but just stick with it and see the benefits. Obviously for yourself, but for your kids. So when they grow up and they have their own family, and then they decide to have children, then they can have that knowledge from the jump. You know, that woman, your daughter, or your son's wife can understand what it means to be to have a healthy womb, to have a clean terrain. So when that child is born, it's given the best possible advantage it could. Most of us are born with dispositions, genetic dispositions, because of generations of horrible eating. We've all been put in a bad situation, and it's going to take a while to clean that up, but we can do it. We can definitely do it. And for companies like Nestle and you know, all these formula companies here trying to sell their product as a replacement for breast milk. Look, I understand that there are women out there that struggle with breastfeeding. Completely understand that. Sometimes they don't produce enough. But then you got to ask yourself this question. Why are you not producing enough? Beside the fact on this point in this show, but formula is never a replacement for something natural. And I've read some things on some of these companies, the Similac, you know, Nestle and some of these other companies that have campaigns tailored and aimed at specific demographics that they feel that they can confuse to choose formula over breast milk. That's a crime of humanity. For any company to try to seduce or to influence or to manipulate any mother to take their product over natural breast milk, any company should be considered criminals, should be charged. I don't know. I mean, that's one of the issues with capitalism. Completely different podcast, but like, I mean, look, I could jump on this YouTube on this podcast and say certain things that'll get me kicked off. But Nestle can manipulate women into buying a product that is inferior, and not only inferior, but actually harmful to children. Now they'll push every science-based study out there that's saying that no, there's not much difference, this, that, and the other. But that's once again man or woman trying to manipulate reality into their favor, trying to best nature. You can't best nature. Nature is perfection. But that's the ego. The ego jumps in and says, oh, I could take what nature did and we can make it better. Don't allow your kids to be science projects. Don't allow your kids to be, you know, chemical-based, you know, chemical concoctions and food processors of a bunch of shit. I would advise everyone out there to just, you know, do an audit on your kids' diets. Obviously yourself, but you know, for your kids, and really look at what choices you're giving them when it comes to food, what food you're eating in front of them, and what habits that you've instilled. Because you can start making those incremental changes and you will see changes over time within them. If you have a kid with any type of cognitive issue, bad behavior, you know, we talked about ADHD, we even talked about autism, all these different things. Look at what they're eating. You know, just take one of the things that they eat the most, right? And do some research on the ingredients within it. Because look, majority of kids are eating processed shit, plain and simple. Look at the back of those boxes, Google every ingredient on there, look at it in, you know, isolated. And ask yourself, would that cause some cognitive issues? Plain and simple. So yeah, you can raise your kids as fruitarian, raw food diet, and they will do great. They will thrive. Despite the misconceptions, the myths out there. And it might even be coming from your practitioner. Highly possible. And it's okay to disagree with them. We've talked about that in some of my other podcasts. But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, it's your legacy. Your children are your legacy. You want to make an impact in the world, you're going to make it through them. Because when you transition, all your values, all your habits, your character is going to live on through them. And then their kids. And then their kids. That's how you change. That's how you break generational curses. That's how you build legacies. And that's how you strengthen humanity. That's how we get back to where we were. I'm convinced that before cooked food came into this world, we thrived as humans. We had a connection to source, to the Akashic field, to the heavenly bodies, as above, so below. We had a connection that we can't even touch right now. We can't even come close to touching right now. Because this vessel, this container that you have, is a conduit. At the end of the day, it's a conduit. And if it's not working properly, if it's constantly trying to get back to a level of normalcy, and it's blocked by all types of different things. And if you look at, you know, your health, you know, on the basic format, you know, the two sides of chemistry, alkaline and acidic, feminine and masculine, electrons, protons, however you want to look at it, the duality of it, the acid portion is kicking ass right now. And that's burning. That is literally disintegrating our ability to be a conduit and connect to source, to connect to different realms, to become the best versions of ourselves, to reach our higher self. Our kids are special. They're magical. They have potential we couldn't even imagine. Don't start their life off on the wrong path, on the acid forming path, to where they have the possibility of dealing with issues their entire life that they don't need to deal with. And educate them. Continuously let them know the why about everything. So I'd really be interested to hear everybody's thoughts when it comes to raising kids on a raw diet. If you are raising your children on a majority raw food diet, or you implement raw foods, or however that works, or if you're looking to do it, I'd love to hear that. If you have any questions, leave them in the comment section and I will definitely address them. It's just so important. So thank you everybody for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you enjoyed the podcast and all the other videos I have in the RL Truth, make sure you give me those thumbs up and subscribe as well. And if you're listening on all the streaming platforms, you know, leave me a review. You know, I appreciate everything. And we do take donations as well. There's a link down there. But I do appreciate everybody. We got some big things going on. I'm going to be talking about the House of Healing very soon. They're the ones that present this podcast, as well as everything that I'm a part of. I am the CEO of the production and media side of the House of Healing. Because look, we're all healing, and we're going to continuously be healing. So let's heal together. Peace, love, and light, everybody. Follow me on all socials, and I'll be back next week. Peace.